Blog Talk Radio. Tell me, Ryan, how was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Another W for the Pats, and the Jets are losing on Monday night, so it's pretty good 2 days here.
Well, most of them are actually pathetic right now, so who knows. Joey, how about you? How was your weekend?
It was good. I headed down to Troy, Alabama to cover the Troy-Georgia State game. It's a good experience.
Nice.
Troy Stadium is beautiful, and the Giants got a W Sunday, so I'm pretty happy.
Oh, yeah, and it was actually an OBJ sighting, actually. It was actually a legit
reason.
Good reasons, not bad reasons, which we've been getting used to. All right, guys, we got a lot to go get over today. We're going to be talking about a bunch of games, and we're going to get to our Too Legit to Quit or Can't Touch This segment. So without further ado, let's get to the game. All right, let's start with the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Miami Dolphins. A surprising 15-30 loss for the Steelers, putting them at 4-2 and putting the Dolphins with their second win of the season. But the big news here is Big Ben, who actually got injured, played through it, but was then reported to have a meniscus tear and underwent meniscus surgery today. In fact, he decided to go the short route. He went a meniscectomy, which is basically a surgical removal of a part of the torn meniscus. So he's going to be facing some early onset arthritis, a la Dwayne Wade and friends who've done the same thing. But he chose the quick route, so he could be back as soon as week 9. So what do you think, Ryan? Is this a big blow to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Do you think Big Ben is coming back, or is this going to make a difference for them?
Oh, well, you know, God, I hope so, considering I have him starting at quarterback in 4 out of my 5 fantasy squads. So
right.
God willing, he's coming back after the bye week.
Right.
But, yeah, so, you know, obviously, you know, that's a big blow. But I think this weekend kind of confirms, at least my personal opinion, that still it really is in the AFC, the Patriots, and everybody else. This is 2 road games now where Pittsburgh's gone on the road and laid up, you know, basically a big fat turd, you know, in Philadelphia and now down there. You know, I know Big Ben was injured in the second half of the game. Because I think it was like end of the second quarter, somewhere about the 6-minute mark that he went down. But, you know, he wasn't very good before that. So they weren't really moving the ball against Miami. So it's just it's frustrating to see a team with all that talent that can just go so anemic. But, you know, the Big Ben injury is definitely going to hurt. And you have obviously got to give the man credit for coming back and playing on a torn meniscus in the second half. But,
I've been torn meniscus before. It is no fun to be walking around on that. No, I mean, not even thinking about playing football. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, especially with the amount of weight he's putting on those knees. So, but I think the more concerning thing for the long term for Pittsburgh is, I think there was a portion of this year that we thought maybe their defense, and I think even last year kind of looked like they were kind of not back to the old defense of Pittsburgh, but starting to turn their defense around with all the young kids and stuff. But you know, after this weekend's game, giving up 200 yards to Jay Ajayi, they have. You know, they're 19th in the league against the run, 101 yards per game, and they've given up 6 rushing touchdowns. So, you know, they can't stop the run on the defense, and I think the defense is the Achilles heel of that team. And if, you know, Big Ben can't stay healthy, and this is probably going to be something that, even if he does come back, it'll be a lingering kind of soreness and something that slows him down the rest of the year. So I think overall this game is a significant blow to to anyone's real belief in their chances to go to the Super Bowl this year.
All right. So, Joey, any thoughts on the Steelers and the Dolphins and the effect of Big Ben going out? How does this affect, for instance, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and all the rest of the Steelers?
Yeah, I remember in our preseason pod I had Steelers marked down in the AFC Championship game. But if Roethlisberger can come back from this, Landry Jones is the guy for them. I don't think he's going to be able to replace the production of a future Hall of Fame quarterback, of course. Look for Le'Veon Bell to get a lot of touches from here on out for all the fantasy owners out there. So that's good.
Right.
the Dolphins, even with the win, are still irrelevant to me. Jay Ajayi, you know, 204 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then Tannehill has what's considered lighting it up for him is 24-32 and 252 yards. And we love to bash on Tannehill in here. So, yeah, I think this is a huge blow for Pittsburgh and not anything for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I agree. I think Tannehill is actually a joke there. They're going to have to move on sometime soon. But on the Pittsburgh side, I don't think there's anything to worry about as far as moving the ball. I think that Le'Veon Bell works just as well as an escape hatch for Landry Jones, and he can be effective as a game manager, but I don't see them winning many games until Big Ben comes back. All right, so let's go ahead and move on. We'll go ahead and ring the bell on that one. Game, which is the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints. Another big, big scoring game, as we're used to whenever we see a game with the Saints, because the Saints have absolutely no defense, and apparently neither do the Panthers, as they lose 38-41, leaving the Panthers at a surprising 1-5 at this part of the season. Well, the Panthers are all healthy, though. Cam Newton was back, Jonathan Stewart back, obviously Kelvin Benjamin back for this season. So what seems to be the problem? Any thoughts on this, Joey?
I think the Josh Norman loss is bigger than we thought. He really was, I think, maybe the glue of that secondary. Once he left for Washington, you know, they cut B'nai Benwickery, who's now with Washington, I think. Their secondary is definitely not the same as it was last year, and that pass rush is not able to get there in time because of the lack of talent in the secondary. It was a big game for Drew Brees, 465 yards, 4 touchdowns, and even Brandon Cooks, who we've talked about before, 7 catches, 173 yards, and a TD. Brees aired it out to Cooks, and nobody was questioning his arm after that. And then it was a really fun game to watch after I watched the Giants game. Brees drove down the field to set up a game-winning kick from former Georgia State Panther, actually Will Lutz, who's a rookie kicker this year. Pretty devastating loss for Carolina to move to 1-5 on the season. You just can't come back from 1-5. It's never been done. I don't expect them to be done. And then did you see the Cam Newton press conference where he just blew off all the reporters, shades of the Super Bowl press conference?
Absolutely. I'm sure that kind of remembers that.
Yeah, it kind of shows his maturity, but I think he'll grow into realize that they're just trying to do their job. But yeah, I think it was a good win for New Orleans, and I think it's the season for Carolina.
Interesting. All right, so tell me, Ryan, what do you think about Cam Newton? What do you think about the rest of the Panthers?
What an absolute punk. I am so over Cam Newton. I'm so sick of this guy, and I'm so sick of all the people last year who tried to shove it down our throats. You know, you hear the national pundits who claim racism if you don't like Cam Newton. Because it's a black thing. You know what it is? It's with 3 minutes left to go in that game, and you know, I'm glad you touched on it, Joey, the post game press conference. Like, first of all, you're the face of the franchise. Sit up there and answer the questions like every other quarterback does in this league. And the worst part about him that kind of I think is getting overlooked in this game. So they come back and they tie it up, and after the 2-point conversion, Cam walks off the field, takes off his helmet, and is screaming into the New Orleans crowd, jawing with fans. Well, there's 3 minutes left in the game with that crappy defense they have this year. Like, the game is not over, and it just shows what a lack of game awareness and presence and not sportsmanship, but just act like you've been there before. I mean, you're 1-4. You had to have a pretty massive comeback to tie up a 1-3 Saints team with a horrendous defense. And you come back and all you do is tie it up and there's still 3 minutes left and you're taunting the crowd. I'm so glad they drove that ball down there and put it up on them. And I'm done with the Panthers. I'm done with Cam Newton. Obviously that division's still up for grabs because it's such a crap division. But I've said this, you know, multiple times this year, and I said it a little bit last year. They're a front-running team. So it's all great when they're dabbing and celebrating when they're blowing teams out, but there's no heart in that team. There's no real fight in that team. They're a bunch of punks. And you know, they're getting theirs to go 15-1 last year and start out this year 1-5. You know, I guess all I can really say is well deserved.
Okay. Well, always honest. Let's move on to our next game. That's the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans. A very surprising game where we saw a number, I'd say a huge number, of Texans fans pour out of the stadium thinking that the game was over, only to miss a dramatic comeback and an overtime win by the Texans, 26-23, leaving the Colts at 2-4 and putting the Texans at 4-2. So tell me, Ryan, any thoughts about the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts? I mean, is there something wrong with Andrew Luck in that offense?
Yeah, so the I saw Vince Wilfork, who God knows I love him for all his years here, but there was some quote or quick rip from him today about chastising the fans who left early from that game last night. The Texans fans had left early, and I have to say I completely agree with Vince, because if it was me, I wouldn't have gone in the first place. So, it's just that's another bad division. And it's just, it's time to clean house in Indy. And obviously, again, another one of my common themes on the show, I think my opinions on Ryan Grigson are well established. Chuck Pagano is an overrated coach. And so I think it is time from top down to kind of clear out that franchise. Cause, I get in a lot of fights with a couple of my, buddies in different fantasy leagues, and I'm in some group chats about, and particularly the kids who have Andrew Luck, who, say how bad Luck is. He's pretty much, aside from T.Y. Hilton, the only good player on that entire roster. Maybe Vontae Davis, but that's, and Vinatieri. So if you're looking at the entire 53-man roster, I'm taking four players maybe if I have a squad and the rest of them I'm leaving behind. So, Grigson found gold when he took T.Y. Hilton, who was a scrawny, undersized guy out of FIU. For whatever reason, decided from then on out, he was only going to draft undersized receivers from the state of Florida. So it hasn't really panned out. Still can't build an offensive line. They can't run the ball. We went over this a couple weeks ago, but Frank Gore's, yards per carry has gone down since he went there, as I knew it would. And he just, they can't build a defense to save their life. So, they're a crap team. The Texans, it was a good team win, a good comeback. And, I still think they'll probably end up winning that division just because it seems like nobody else wants to win it. But until the second half, Brock Osweiler was making a lot of bad reads. And if you watch him enough, you'll notice that he has a very bad habit of he will lock in on a receiver, from almost jump street. And pretty much that's who he's going to throw it to. So it's pretty easy to sit back and just watch Brock and know where he's going with the ball, which is, not good for their future.
Right. Okay. So T.Y. goodbye being one of the greatest parts of the Colts offense. And there's a lot of other stuff going on that needs to be rebooting there. So what do you think, Joey? You agree with that analysis? You think there's some rebooting required in the Colts?
Oh yeah. I feel awful for Andrew Luck, and it pisses me off that Ryan Grigson still has a job. He is the worst general manager in football. He has the balls to come out and say, if we didn't give Andrew that huge contract, maybe we could build a team. No, you drafted Philip Dorsett in the first round when you have offensive line needs, when you have defensive needs, but then you go get Philip Dorsett in the first round? Are you kidding me? It's just Andrew Luck's going to have to suffer there for at least three or four more years before they're any good, because they have no talent, like Ryan said. They have Luck, and they have Vinatieri, and they have T.Y. Hilton and Vontae Davis, and then a bunch of guys off the street, basically. That's all they are. I don't know what Ryan Grigson thought he was doing when he was building this team. On the other hand, Houston, Osweiler was earning some of that money he earned in the offseason. Throwing for a couple touchdown passes, and then Lamar Miller, who we're going to talk about later, with almost 150 yards and a touchdown and the win. I think Houston has a real shot. I think they're going to win that division. Their only competition really is Jacksonville. But I feel terrible for Andrew Luck.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you guys saw the graphic during the game, but they compared the amount of money that Brock Osweiler was getting to Trevor Siemian, who was getting about, $500,000 a year or something like that. So definitely some value loss to the Texans. I see some shades of Jay Cutler here, except for the fact that Cutler was actually good for a full season before the Bears overpaid for him and stuck with him for many, many years. I mean, unfortunately for the Texans, they're stuck with Osweiler at least through next year. If they cut him next year, if they cut him this year, then they're going to eat a huge cap. I mean, they're going to blow their cap space, and they're going to be able to get anybody else. So they're stuck with him for at least another year, and there's no way to move him at this point, not for the contract he's under. All right, so let's go ahead and call our next game. That's the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. Dallas Cowboys just romping all over the place, looking completely dominant. Don't let the score fool you. 30-16, but really the Cowboys were in control the entire game. They go up to 5-1. Packers go down to 3-2. So tell me, Joey, what are your thoughts on that? Any thoughts on what's going on with the Green Bay Packers? Is there something wrong with Aaron Rodgers? Is it still time to relax, relax, or is there some time now to just panic?
I would not hit the panic button yet on the Packers. They're 3-2, but this Cowboys team is for real, and it scares the living hell out of me as a Giants fan. This offensive line is still very young. It's definitely the best offensive line in football, and then you bring in Dak Prescott, who trots into Lambeau and throws three touchdown passes and a win, and then Ezekiel Elliott, who's the first rookie with 130-plus yards in four straight games to start his career. It's just really, really scary to me as a Giants fan. I think the Packers definitely need some sort of offense, because if you have noticed, the way the receivers run routes, it's like they're playing ISO basketball. They just expect the receivers to be able to get open without running like pick routes or getting into bunch formations to lead guys open. Jordy Nelson's having a really good season coming off the torn ACL. But, yeah, I think the Packers, I wouldn't hit the panic button on them yet, but it's worrying me a bit.
Yeah, and actually Jordy Nelson not getting much of anything going until the fourth quarter. I mean, he was covered pretty well by the Dallas Cowboys secondary. So tell me, Ryan, any thoughts on the Cowboys and the Packers? Cowboys praise, Packers issues, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's on both sides. I mean, I'm personally, I'm slamming down on the panic button if I'm a Packers fan. You know, you're getting dangerously close to conceding the division. You know, obviously they're 3-3 now, or 3-2, sorry. You have the 5-0 Vikings. So two games back, but really, you know, three games back, because you have the head-to-head tie, loss against the Packers, or against the Vikings so far. So they're falling into a dangerous spot. And when you look around, you know, when you look at the NFC East this year, you know, with four viable teams, and the Cardinals seem to be on a rebound. The Rams have had a good record to this point, and the Seahawks in the West. I mean, it's not unrealistic for a team that was projected to go to the Super Bowl or be a Super Bowl contender this year, that there's a shot that the Packers miss it this year. And I think in the years past with the relax stuff that, you know, we all remember and joke about, that there was a lot to do with bad guys not getting open in those years. In that year, that there was a lot of other stuff going on. What we're seeing this year is that the issue is actually is Aaron Rodgers. He's been wild on his passes. He hasn't been very accurate. He doesn't seem to be escaping and creating as many plays this year, in my opinion. You know, the one part that really stands out more than anything yesterday was that I know it was his first pick, so I'm not going to bag on Dak Prescott too bad, but that's an atrocious turnover. From your own end zone to throw that ball there and get picked off at the 16. And the Packers at home in Lambeau can't drive 16 yards to get a touchdown. That's a scary situation, especially against, you know, a defense that's pretty much a bend but don't break defense. It's certainly not a shutdown defense that Dallas has. So I'm still buying on Dallas. I think it's another good win again, obviously. If they bench Dak Prescott, then they deserve every bad thing that happens to them. But if they ride it out with him this year, you know, I would have to say they're the favorites in the East.
Yeah, so I also have to say that other than Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, oh my goodness, he's the real deal out there. The fact of the matter is that the Green Bay Packers have a top five run defense, and Elliott just shredded them, absolutely shredded them. But as you flip to the other side of the ball, the Green Bay Packers, I think one of their major issues is that they just don't have any running back depth, and Eddie Lacy is just clearly not healthy. He's not 100%. 17 attempts for 65 yards, that's it. They don't have anybody else in the roster there. They're lining up Ty Montgomery in the backfield in order to take snaps as a running back. So there are some serious issues back there for the Packers. They got to figure that out, because they're not giving Rodgers enough time to get confidence. And you're right, Ryan. I think he's missing a lot of people because of the fact that he's just simply inaccurate, and that shouldn't be the case with somebody like Rodgers. All right, so let's go ahead and ring the bell on that one. Game of the day, and that is the San Francisco 49ers versus the Buffalo Bills. the big story, obviously, Colin Kaepernick is back from the dead. And with him, he dragged back Torrey Smith from the dead. And the result was the same. The Buffalo Bills ended up destroying the San Francisco 49ers 45-16, dropping the 49ers to 1-5, leaving the Buffalo Bills at 4-2. Wow, so that's something I didn't expect out of the Buffalo Bills, although the 49ers are terrible. I mean, Ryan, what do you think? Is Rex Ryan safe? Is this actually good? I mean, the Buffalo Bills, are they a good team?
Yeah, you know, I'm so torn on the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, you know, with the win against the Patriots, they have the tiebreaker against us, and they're only a game back. So I definitely, you know, definitely feel them breathing on the back of our necks. I think the defense has been great. I think you can you're definitely seeing a little bit of a LeSean McCoy renaissance here this year. And obviously that defense looks great, and the two linebackers, the Brown Bros as they call them there, have been amazing for them to this point. Buffalo, when they're good, the crowd up there is ruckus, so they're, you know, it's a tough place to play. So, you know, I'm buying in a little bit on the Bills, but there's still that point, that thing in my head where, you know, you have a bunch of knuckleheads on that team, you have a knucklehead head coach. And much like the Cincinnati Bengals last year in the postseason, or what you saw on Sunday against the Patriots, you know, teams like that tend to, when things are good, they're good. But when things start to unravel a little bit, they lose control of their emotions and they can really start to go in the tank. So I could see Buffalo at this point finishing 10-6 and being a wild card team, but I could also see them winning this weekend and then, you know, losing to the Patriots and going on a 5-game losing streak and finish 8-8 and miss the postseason. So, you know, I guess time will tell with them. The other thing I would wait to see is just, you know, how consistent they can be on the offensive side of the ball. I know they've been great since they changed coordinators, but they really haven't beat any good teams to this point. They beat the Patriots with a third-string quarterback with a torn thumb ligament who couldn't really throw the ball. They beat the Cardinals, which is probably their most marquee win, but still, Cardinals were, you know, are a below 500 team. They beat the Rams, and now they beat the 49ers. So they really haven't beat anybody. They haven't really had, like, a statement win yet. So we'll see on that. As far as the 49ers, you know, I think that we all still, as much as we joke about them, think that maybe there's a chance that that Kaepernick can recapture some of that magic he had a couple years ago. One thing I'll say on it quickly, I actually heard a report this weekend. I think it was on Good Morning Football. And I had never heard this, so maybe I just missed it. But I guess 3 years ago, Kaepernick became a vegan. And since then, he's actually lost a decent amount of weight and significant muscle. And I guess that kind of correlates with around the time that he started to be a less productive quarterback. So interesting to if that's, you know, if that's actually affected the way he plays and has, you know, slowed him down and made him not as strong and as physical. And maybe that is an explanation for why he's become so bad over the last couple of years.
Wow, yeah, that's very. I'd definitely be slow if I was only eating vegetables. I can tell you that. So Joey, you tell me, what do you think about these guys, 49ers and the Bills? Is Kaepernick the answer? It's just that he's already been pegged as the Week 7 starter by Chip Kelly and friends. Is this going to make a difference for the 49ers? And what about the Bills?
I still don't think this is an answer for the 49ers. Their team's just overall bad, and adding Kaepernick to the mix isn't going to really do anything. He was 13 of 29. You see how inaccurate he is since that Super Bowl run he had with Jim Harbaugh and company. He had the one touchdown to Torrey Smith, but it was only a touchdown because he grossly underthrew it. Buffalo, I'm not really sold on them yet. They did beat the Cardinals, and they've won four straight. But starting at the end of October, they have a pretty rough stretch where they play at home against New England, and then they play in Seattle, then Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Oakland, and Pittsburgh all in a row. So they need to come out of that pretty strong for me to really believe they're a playoff team and a contender. But like Ryan said, they haven't really beat anybody except the Cardinals. So I'd like to see more on them before I count them in.
Yeah, I'm not completely sold on the Bills either, but I do think they have a good core. I I do believe in Tyrod Taylor. He's not of the elite quarterback ilk, but he's plenty fine for the type of offense they're running in Buffalo. And I do believe in LeSean McCoy until the wheels fall off. I mean, they are running him a lot, and he's been very productive, but I don't expect that's going to last more than another year or so. But I do believe there is some value out there that they're doing a good job of what they have. They have literally no wide receivers. I mean, Robert Woods is their de facto number one wide receiver, and if you can win games with that and the likes of Justin Hunter, then you're not terrible. You know, you're doing something at least moderately right. And Colin Kaepernick, it's almost sad because, you know, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this. He started off the game strong. I thought he was going to actually take them somewhere, and it kind of came crashing down around him really fast after that. So I agree with both of you. I don't think he's the answer either. So let's go ahead and call that game and get to our last segment of the day, and that is our Too Legit to Quit or Can't Touch This segment. So I'm going to name off each one of these things, and I'm going to ask each one of you guys to tell me if you think they're too legit to quit or can't touch this, and then give me one line or two lines as to why you think that. So let me ask you, first of all, Lamar Miller and the Houston Texans, is Lamar Miller too legit to quit or can't touch this? Ryan.
I'm going can't touch this. I got to see more than, you know, the flashes we've seen over the couple years from Lamar Miller. I need to see it week in and week out first.
All right. And how about you, Joey? Lamar Miller, can't touch, too legit to quit or can't touch this?
Yeah, I agree with Ryan. He hasn't been we've seen the flashes over the years, but his top year was in 2014 with the Dolphins, only 1,099 yards. And I just want to see more.
All right, so let's move on to our next one, which is the Buffalo Bills. Are the Buffalo Bills too legit to quit or can't touch this? And we've already been talking about this, but let's focus on the defense. Is their defense too legit to quit or can't touch this? Joey, what do you think?
I think their defense is the real deal. It's too legit to quit. Rex Ryan, as we spoke about a couple podcasts ago, he's a great defensive coordinator. We questioned his head coaching ability, but when you have him in the mix, you always know that their team's going to have a good defense.
Mm-hmm. All right. And what do you think, Ryan? Buffalo Bills defense, too legit to quit or can't touch this?
Yeah, too legit to quit. You know, let their numbers make the statement. Those guys are playing well right now.
And let's go ahead and tack on Tyrod Taylor. You already know how I feel about him. What do you think about Tyrod Taylor, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going too legit to quit again. You know, we've seen flashes like Fitzpatrick having a good year last year and then a bad year this year. Tyrod's put together two good seasons in a row so far, so I'm buying.
All right, and Joey, what do you think about Tyrod Taylor?
I'd say he's too legit to quit if we're considering him an average quarterback. He's just out there game managing and everything, and like you said, he's perfect for that type of offense. So, yeah, too legit to quit for Tyrod Taylor.
Okay, let's turn to the next one, and that's the Dallas Cowboys in particular, and I already know how you feel about this, Ryan, so I'm going to go with Joey first. Dak Prescott, too legit to quit or can't touch this, Joey?
I think he's too legit to quit. He in his first game against the Giants, he showed me that he was the real deal, and ever since he's just been excellent so far. And I do like Carson Wentz a little bit better than him, but I still think he stays starter even when Romo comes back.
All right, and Ryan, let's hear it again. Dak Prescott, too legit to quit or can't touch this?
Hey, too legit to quit. If the guy's winning, don't take him out.
All right. So that's all the time we got for this episode of – oh, and we're going to just a little extra sound effect there. We're going to end this episode, and why don't you give your Twitter account, Ryan, so that people can follow you.
Yep, it's at Ryan Whitfield, N-E.
All right, and Joey, your Twitter account.
It's at Joey Libro.
And you can follow me at FB Garbage Time and follow all the news and notes and nonsense that we have throughout the week. And until next time, enjoy Monday Night Football, which I'm hoping you're still watching, and enjoy the rest of your football week.